Hey there, I'm George Sedano, a name you might recognize from crushing the competition on Around the Horn. And a voice you might recognize from ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. Oh, and let the record show that I also got Spurs coach Greg Popovich to smile once during a sideline interview. So you're going to be hearing a lot of different voices hosting ESPN Daily in the coming weeks, and I'm one of them. I'll be with you the rest of the week, helping this podcast do what it's always done. Tell the best sports stories in audio, day in and day out. Thanks for listening. Brian Windhorst, we brought you here to talk about the Lakers-Grizzlies series, and because of your deep insight into the biggest star on the Lakers, one of the biggest stars in NBA history, someone who once again carried this storied franchise on his back in Game 1. And of course, I'm speaking about Austin Reeves.
Reeves, 21 points, 3 assists, gets inside, off balance, jumper, got it, a go!
I'm him!
Brian, what was your reaction when you saw Austin Reeves essentially take over for the Lakers in the fourth quarter of Game 1?
Well, he did that a couple of times late in the season, George. When LeBron was out, Austin Reeves just blossomed into this gorgeous spring orchid. And this is kind of a joke, but it's also kind of based in reality. When LeBron was out dealing with that foot injury in February and March, Austin Reeves essentially played the LeBron role, which is to be the offensive creator. I wouldn't say he's headed for the Hall of Fame just yet, but he was comfortable in what he was being asked to do. I mean, LeBron took one shot in the entire fourth quarter. He had no assists, and his team won going away. This is not something I've ever seen before, and an incredible relief to him and the Lakers that they are built in such a way that they don't have to have him do it all to win a game of this value.
Obviously, I should add, Brian, that the biggest news out of Game 1 was, of course, the injury to Ja Morant's hand. And as we're taping this, we still don't know if he'll be able to play in Game 2. But regardless, we still have in this series something the NBA has been lacking a bit in recent years, which is genuine bad blood, a rivalry that at times feels a little personal. How would you characterize this Lakers-Grizzlies dynamic?
I don't think they like each other at all. You know, the Grizzlies are probably right up there with the most unliked teams in the league, something that they embrace. It's their style. They play with a lot of swagger, particularly Dillon Brooks, who is now the agitator general in the NBA. Really, his game plan is to be an irritant, to frustrate and bother and get under the skin of his opponents and talk about it after the games.
You told me before the game you were going to talk a lot. We saw you talking to a lot of different people tonight.
That's what I do. I talk.
Over the course of this season, he's gotten into it with Donovan Mitchell.
And now we've got Mitchell pushing into Dillon Brooks after a hard foul. Mitchell and Brooks going at it. And now they got to be separated.
Shannon Sharpe, when he was a courtside at a Laker game.
There was a little bit of an incident here courtside at the Crypto.com arena. Dillon Brooks was having words with Shannon Sharpe.
Shannon Sharpe still talking.
He has a multi-stage back and forth with Draymond Green. He got into it with Klay Thompson.
He's got 4 rings. And that's all he was saying. You know, it's friendly trash talk, but, you know, I just hold a lot of real estate over there in San Francisco.
He was suspended, I believe, 3 different times this year. He paid almost $300,000 in fines. And now Dillon Brooks has this opportunity in a playoff series to join this vaunted list of LeBron James agitators in his playoff career that create some indelible memories of on-court and off-court rivalry.
It takes a certain type of person to be great at being annoying. And to be great at annoying arguably the best player in NBA history? Well, that takes elite level skills. A select few have endeavored to get under LeBron James's skin in the playoffs over the years, and now a newcomer is poised to join the ranks. So today, as the Lakers get set to take on the Grizzlies in Game 2, Brian Windhorst tells us if the Grizzlies' Dillon Brooks can join the proud tradition of LeBron agitators, and whether strategic annoyance is an effective defense against King James. I'm George Sedano. It's Wednesday, April 19th. This is ESPN Daily.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Brian, you just wrote a piece about Dillon Brooks of the Memphis Grizzlies, specifically asking the question, can Dillon Brooks become the next LeBron James agitator? So I want to talk to you about the job of LeBron James agitator. Is this a conscious strategy by opponents of LeBron, or is this something that has happened organically over the years?
Both. I think LeBron has been so difficult to handle straight up in any sort of playoff setting that opponents have looked for ways to find an edge. And there's a number of different attempts that have been made. Most of them generally have been unsuccessful. But one of them is to try to irritate him, to try to get him off his game. And over the last 15, 18 years, we've seen a variety of players try a variety of irritation tactics on LeBron, leading to some of the most memorable moments he's had in his postseason career.
Let's go through the history of the LeBron James antagonist. You start back in 2008, when LeBron was still in his first stint with the Cavs. And in the first round of the playoffs, they squared off against the Washington Wizards. Who was the LeBron agitator back then?
It was Deshaun Stevenson, perimeter defender of the Washington Wizards. Deshaun took this to a next level, making it a sort of pop culture event to irritate LeBron. I think it's important to have some context that the Wizards were playing the Cavs for the third consecutive time in the postseason. The Cavs had beaten them the first two times. They did not want to lose for the third year in a row. And so they had a completely new strategy, which was to basically beat LeBron up, foul him, pound him, wear him down. And the tip of the spear was Deshaun Stevenson, who not only wanted to try to keep LeBron off dominating the box score, but he wanted to get into his head.
So what happened with Deshaun?
So before the series even started, Deshaun declared, "LeBron is overrated, and you can tell him I said so."
Stevenson was the one who brazenly said that LeBron James is overrated.
Eventually, the comment is brought to LeBron's attention, and he asked him before the series, he said, "Look, me responding to him would be like Jay-Z responding to Soulja Boy."
Now, for you hip-hop fans, if you may not remember, the great Soulja Boy... He had, I believe, one hit. I hope I'm not insulting his catalog. He was a one-hit wonder at the time, and he had this song, I believe, called Crank That, that was popular. It was definitely played during a lot of NBA games. LeBron was calling himself Jay-Z, which is, you know, maybe a little aggressive in 2008, but certainly respectable now. Comparing himself to Jay-Z and basically calling Deshaun Stevenson an also-ran and nobody, a one-hit wonder. And this kicked off a remarkable couple of days worth of back and forths in the pop culture world. First off, Soulja Boy, who knew a good public relations moment when he saw it, turned up in Washington, sat courtside, and very much embraced his sudden thrust into the series. Dancing to his song when it was played over the PA system, which happened on a number of occasions as the Wizards won the game. And several of the Wizards players would do the crank that dance, whatever it was. I hope I'm not disrespecting what was, one of the finest trends since the Macarena. Then something truly remarkable happened, and that was Jay-Z, the man himself, Hove, he released a diss track aimed at Deshaun Stevenson.
This Stevenson LeBron smack talk has reached the nightclub scene. Soulja Boy is Deshaun's guy. Friday night at a Washington, D.C. spot called Love, the DJ played a new song by hip-hop conglomerate Jay-Z, a good friend of LeBron's. The lyrics had some negative comments about Deshaun Stevenson and the Wizards.
Jay-Z, basically taking a shot, saying, how dare Deshaun Stevenson declare that LeBron was overrated.
Ask my LeBron. It's so big we ain't gotta respond. When you're talking to a Don, please have respect like you're talking to your mom. We
let the money do the And the thing is, George, Deshaun and his Wizards teammates were gobsmacked that Jay-Z would give Deshaun Stevenson such notoriety and, frankly, respect by mentioning him, by recording a special track just to take a shot at him.
Yeah, I mean, this story got so big, Brian, that LeBron was asked at the time if there was a Deshaun Stevenson-LeBron James rivalry. And, well, this is how LeBron responded to that.
There's no Deshaun-LeBron rivalry. There's no Deshaun-LeBron rivalry.
Now, let me say, LeBron was pretty much unstoppable in the series. He averaged 28, 29 points. The Cavs won in 6. Deshaun put up a good fight. Eventually, the flagrant fouls and the hard fouls stopped working, and they played more straight up, and LeBron won, as it was always going to be. And for the third straight year, the Wizards went down. But forevermore, that series was remembered as the Soulja Boy Jay-Z series, where it did have some effect and some distraction on LeBron, at least for a few minutes.
Brian, the next true LeBron agitator didn't appear for another 3 years in the 2011 finals. LeBron's Miami Heat took on the Dallas Mavericks. Interestingly enough, Deshaun Stevenson was also on that team, but it was one of his teammates who got involved with LeBron. Who stepped up to the plate there?
This is a guy who LeBron truly has bad blood with, and that's Jason Jet Terry. The role that he played with the Mavericks was to be a huge difference-making player off the bench. He was especially known for coming in and hitting big shots in fourth quarters. And when he would make a big three, he would run back down the court with his arms extended like he was flying, hence the nickname Jet Terry.
Got the switch, Nowitzki to Terry. He is 5 of 5 from behind the long line. How you doing, JT?
And so he was a guy who was extremely confident. Before the season, he was convinced that the Mavericks were going to win the championship that year, and so convinced that he had a Larry O'Brien trophy tattooed on his bicep.
I'm telling the guys that really believe. I'm telling you, with this team we have this year, we can win it all. Then I hopped in the chair and got a tattoo. I don't know why, but again, it's there.
The Miami Heat knew that trying to slow down Jason Terry was a big factor. And so they would put LeBron James on him late in games, specifically on key fourth quarter possessions. But Jason Terry did not see it that way. Jason Terry saw something else, and he let the world know when he said, I don't think LeBron can do this over 7 games. And LeBron had been hearing trash talk of this nature since he was a teenager.
Defensively, we all have to be in tune. But not only Jason Terry, but Dirk, Jason Kidd, Tyson Chandler, whoever else is out on the court, Sean Marion, in the fourth quarter. It's in a one-on-one matchup between me and JT, and I don't get involved in that. I just go out there and execute what we need to do.
The one thing that sort of defined LeBron's career, even when he was a teen, was that anybody who ever challenged him was basically vanquished. And so this looked like it was just going to be another notch on the belt until Jason Terry outplayed LeBron James for the rest of that series. And in a pivotal moment, game 5, in Dallas, 2-2, could go either way. Jet Terry nails a three-pointer with 35 seconds left over the top of LeBron James that seals the game and absolutely lets everybody know about it.
Terry, a long three. Bang! Jason Terry gives the Mavericks a seven-point lead with 33 seconds remaining.
Somebody please tell LeBron James the rules. Hand down, man down.
This was after LeBron had an 8-point, that's right, I said that, an 8-point game four and only managed 17 in game five, two games that the Heat lost and basically lost control of the series. Jason Terry was one of the stars of the finals for the Mavericks, and Jason on that one got the last laugh. And George, LeBron never forgot it.
Well, he certainly never forgot it because you may recall that a couple of years later when Jason Terry was on the Boston Celtics, there was that infamous dunk, one of the greatest dunks I think LeBron's had in a game, mostly because of the history that you just alluded to.
Wade from behind takes it away. Chalmers, Cole, James! Whoa! And a technical foul called on Miami for the taunt.
He dunked over Jason Terry, stood over him, got a technical foul, and Wikipedia proclaimed Jason Terry being deceased after said dunk.
The remarkable quote, I think one of the most remarkable quotes of LeBron's career, when he said that he enjoyed making that play and said that Jason Terry talks a little bit too much and I'm glad it happened to him.
It was one of my better ones. And the fact that it happened to JT made it even that much sweeter. Because I think we all know what JT talks, and he talks too much sometimes. And I'm glad it happened to him.
I gasped audibly when he said it because I just had never heard him say trash talk like that to the media. And I just couldn't get back to my computer fast enough to file that story to ESPN because I knew people were going to eat that up.
We really can't talk about LeBron James agitators, though, without talking about the one and only Lance Stephenson at the time of the Indiana Pacers. Most of us have seen the gif of Stephenson blowing air into LeBron's ear, which is just next level agitation. Like, even he kind of chuckled when it happened. How did the beef start between those two?
Lance Stephenson saw what Deshaun Stephenson, no relation, and Jason Terry had done, and he thanked them for their service and said, now I'm going to show you how this is actually done.
So basically he said, hold my beer.
That's right. Over the course of 3 years, and really even over the course of several different eras, when LeBron moved on to the Cavs, Lance Stephenson waged a vendetta aimed at getting into LeBron's head. He pulled out just about every trick in the book, and it started before he was even playing. The first time the Heat played the Pacers, Lance Stephenson was a young guy, and LeBron had missed a couple of clutch free throws in a playoff game loss, and Lance came out onto the court and wrapped his hands around his neck and gave the choke sign.
Lance Stephenson's second year out of Cincinnati, you probably saw this on SportsCenter, giving the choke sign before LeBron shot a technical free throw, and then he did it again after.
There would be way more coming in the following years. Lance was known for doing all kinds of things to try to bother LeBron. Famously, during free throws, blowing in his ear.
Blowing in the ear of LeBron James, and James' reaction, he can't believe it.
What did you think when Lance Stephenson came and blew in your ear?
I'm just here to play basketball, man. All the extracurricular activities, I don't really get into.
One time he, during a timeout, went and stuck his fingers in LeBron's mouth. I know that sounds crazy, and you may think, well, oh, it was just an accident. No, he walked past LeBron, put his hands on LeBron's lips, and stuck his fingers in his mouth. And that did not make LeBron happy. Occasionally, it worked. But of course, LeBron always got the last laugh. All three times the Heat played the Pacers in the playoffs, LeBron's Heat won. And when Lance actually left and played on several other teams, then came back to the Pacers years later, up in 2018, LeBron was with the Cavs and they played in another playoff series. It turned into an epic series. that went seven games. And there was Lance again getting into LeBron's head, causing issues. And Lance said that, you know, one of the great accomplishments of his career was LeBron started talking trash to him. He had never talked to him like his first year or two when they played against each other, but he thought it was a victory that he got LeBron to start talking trash. But again, LeBron is 4-0 against Lance in playoff series.
All right, Wendy. So now that we have a historical accounting of the, quote, annoy LeBron strategy, how effective would you say it's been? And where would you say Dylan Brooks fits in here?
Look, ultimately, you're probably not beating LeBron James, especially when he's in the prime of his career. He's going to get you more often than you get him. But I got to say, it's not a bad tool to keep in the toolbox. Dylan Brooks is not stupid. He is an intelligent player who has a long career of getting into it with high-profile people, dating all the way back to when he had a little dust-up with Mike Krzyzewski when he was at the University of Oregon and they beat Duke on the way to the Final Four in 2017. There's something to be said for having that. And ultimately, you're going to have to play rugged defense, and you're going to have some luck, and you're going to have skill to handle LeBron. But I do think that if you're the right person that can handle the downside, it may not be the worst idea. You're probably not going to beat him straight up. You need to find an edge where you can.
Coming up, can the Grizzlies' Dylan Brooks be the next to get under LeBron's skin?
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Brian, you've already mentioned some of Dylan Brooks' qualifications as a LeBron antagonist. Brooks did make some headlines when he said last week that he was hoping to play LeBron in the Lakers in the first round.
But I wouldn't mind playing LeBron in a seven-game series. The legacy's there. First time back in the playoffs, knock him out right away in the first round. Bet it'll test us good.
You know, this kind of goes along with the way Dylan Brooks and the Grizzlies have always operated. You know, we don't respect our opponents. We'll just beat anybody who's put in front of us. And that comes on the heels of, you know, the incident that he had in L.A. earlier this season, where he was basically trash-talking not only the entire Lakers lineup, but their courtside fans. And I thought it was funny, you know, just as an example of how LeBron kind of reacts to this kind of stuff, he kind of trolled Dylan a little bit during game one when he was having a conversation with his coach and he walked over and stood in the huddle.
LeBron James listening in. I'll say it again. Guy goes over into the huddle.
Here we go.
Anything to be able to happen.
basically LeBron trying to irritate Dylan going back. And that's one of the things that I think is kind of enjoyable, to watch the way the interplay between the two of them works. And I think one of the things that you saw was there were people who were kind of stunned that Dylan Brooks would say that about LeBron. Why poke the bear? The answer is because that's what Dylan Brooks does.
Listen, the NBA is littered with stories like this, whether it's LeBron and those antagonists we've talked about, Rajah Bell and Kobe Bryant and all the other Kobe stoppers, Shane Battier, Tony Allen, et cetera, et cetera. This is part of what makes the NBA so great. And as we go down history lane here, what's the history between LeBron and Brooks specifically?
Well, it was interesting that something that LeBron said before the series, after Dylan Brooks basically said, I'm fine with playing LeBron. I want to knock him right out. LeBron was asked about it. LeBron said, oh, you kind of got to respect him because he can make shots.
Dylan Brooks, an opportunity to go out there and you can't disrespect him because he makes shots.
And it kind of took everybody by surprise. You respect Dylan Brooks, like he doesn't seem to respect anybody or anything. And it left some people to wonder, like, if LeBron was trying to play next level chess here, because sometimes Dylan Brooks is known for maybe being a little aggressive, taking shots, George, that he sometimes takes shots that he shouldn't take, and that maybe LeBron was, playing his own mind game back, like, oh yeah, Dylan Brooks is great. He can make those shots. And, I have to say, there's a number of reasons why the Grizzlies lost game one, the biggest of which was Ja Morant hurting his hand and wrist in the second half. But Dylan Brooks took some shots that were maybe not the most advised shots. So I don't know, maybe LeBron was trying his own little game of getting into someone's head.
The agitee has become the agitator.
Maybe.
Brooks was 5 of 13 in game one, 2 of 9 from 3. But look, to your point, I think that LeBron's been at this for a very long time, so he knows how to manage these situations as best he can. Brian, as you look ahead to the remainder of this Grizzlies-Lakers series, obviously Ja Morant's status and effectiveness for game two and beyond will be consequential. But this Grizzlies team, Brian, has talked quite a bit of trash over the years. How much pressure is on them to live up to this hype, even with the potential injuries they're dealing with, because they've seemingly invited some of this smoke that they're getting now?
Absolutely. I do think that there's some upside to it, but there's also downside. And, they are the number two seed for the second consecutive year. And, last year they didn't reach the conference finals. Granted, that was because Ja got hurt himself. And if they're not able to make it this year, they're going to have to really evaluate the way they play in the playoffs. One of the things about their team is they're a little bit erratic. The emotions that kind of fuel them also can kind of work against them in the postseason. It did last year. They have made some roster moves, but they really haven't addressed it, just hoping that maturity would take over. And maybe we'll see that maturity take over eventually, but that is still their Achilles heel. That and injuries, is threatening to bring them down.
Windy, thanks as always, brother. Appreciate it.
Enjoy the playoffs, George.
I'm George Sedano. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.